Welcome to Who's Hot and Who's Not, episode 7 on the Oh Hot Moo or Not feed, using the same, irrelevant. Irreverent method as that show to look at Who's Who number 2 with a contingent of the Hot Squad, double dose of Hot or Not each month for the next 6 months, just like we promised 6 months ago. I'm Siskoid, and let's see who's around the table this time. All of them are...
Our panelists will
introduce themselves by revealing, and here's the question of the month. If they could have only one balloon, what color and or type would it be? And this will foreshadow one of the entries we'll be covering today. It may sound a bit mysterious.
Sorry, did you say baboon?
Balloon.
Balloon. Oh, wow.
But if you do have a color of baboon that you prefer...
Isabel looks perplexed. You should start with her.
No, I just have like this, like flashbacks of that interview I did years ago to work at a museum, in which they asked us if we were a balloon, what kind would it be? And you have to relate that to your work. I don't know how you relate a balloon to work.
But it is, if you could only have one.
Yeah, so you're not the balloon.
Okay, well, can I have a hot air balloon?
You can have a hot air balloon.
But that was mine.
You're allowed to have the same balloon.
Mine will have stars and be like a night sky balloon. Okay, I'm sure yours will not be that.
So that was Isabel. Shotgun.
I would have a long yellow balloon that I can turn into a giraffe.
Along the same veins, I would like a balloon animal, so I always have a friend. And it would be pink, because pink makes me smile.
Josie?
Hot air balloon, but like, it has bows, it has hearts, flowers, Hello Kitty face on it, just like...
It's just kind of hovering above the ground, and there's too much stuff on it.
The basket is pink in the shape of a bow. Like, just...
In the shape of a bow?
Yeah.
Oh,
that'd
be so cool. Okay, but what if the balloon is Hello Kitty? The shape of Hello Kitty.
That too can work. Does it look like a 5-year-old bedroom, like, exploded on it? Perfect. That's what I want.
Natalie.
In Donkey Kong Country.
Yes!
There's red balloons. That's like red helium balloons, and it's like an extra life, so that'd be handy as hell. I'd love to have that balloon in case I tragically die. I can come back.
And Amelie?
A big gray zeppelin, Mike.
Is that a balloon?
Maybe you went with vehicles and useful ones? I don't know.
What were you expecting?
I was not expecting anything, but I can't wait for you to find out how this relates.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
Because, like, we couldn't pick a ball, right? It had to be a balloon, so I can't pick, like, a volleyball.
No.
Or soccer ball.
No.
Why would
basketball.
You?
No.
Ew.
Water polo ball.
No. All right, let's get into it.
Hockey puck?
Auto Man. In 1965, or whatever passes for the current day, Professor Miller Sterling builds a robot out of meteorite ore to be the first independent thinking automaton. Dubbed Automan, though his friends call him Otto, he then becomes a robot for hire, taking such jobs as bodyguard, manservant, baseball umpire, and protecting scientists from sharks. But you can't hire him to commit a crime. Oh. He's programmed to serve humanity, not hurt it. He survives to 2092, where he joins the cast of Star Hawkins' Intergalactic Detective, and falls in love and marries Hawkins' robot secretary, Ilda. The couple ends up teaching at the Hawkins-Sterling Academy of Robot Detection, a place where robots can learn how to be private eyes. Automan has all the durability, strength, and enhanced senses you associate with robots, but also a hidden camera in his forehead, laser beam eyes, a powerful electromagnet, and his own parachute. The small art piece by Alex Saviek and Romeo Tangal shows his creator and his life mate in the serpent.
I thought you said pair of shoes.
Maybe he does have a pair of shoes and a parachute.
That would be both practical and fashionable.
His girlfriend is so cute.
She really is.
I like how she's her life mate.
I love the eyelashes.
That'd be really specific, but I really enjoy when, like, we get a robot design in these, but even in movies or whatever. That's, like, really simple, but still kind of looks kind. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like he has a kind face, honestly, even though there's not a whole lot there.
Well,
he looks kind to me. Like, I wouldn't be scared of this robot if I saw him in life.
He does look
like maybe I would. I don't know.
He does have, like, something that looks like glasses, and I think that helps the friendliness.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, he's 6'11". That changed a little my perspective, because I was like, okay, regular size, sure, but 6'11", that's a bit intimidating.
No, but it's really useful to get things off of the top shelf in the garage.
Or the grocery store.
I mean, he could do that by just being, like, 6.
I know. He could get the cat out of the tree.
My garage is really tall.
He could clean the gutters.
Okay.
I'm having gutter issues at home.
I installed gutter guards.
That will be this year's project. As Natalie was saying, I really enjoy his face. It reminds me a lot of the face of the Iron Giant.
Yeah.
And he has a very kind soul and a very kind face and just this kind little creature. So I like that. It reminds me of that.
It's all in the jaw. Like the jaw lines, when the mouth is closed. I don't know if that even opens, but in that way it looks like it's smiling.
And his like name, you can kind of see his mouth like a little bit open, it seems.
And his name?
And his logo.
Oh.
I both like the sports robot and also the detective robot. Those are two things that I enjoy being roboted.
I like his color too.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty. It's a really warm, bright color. He's just really nice.
He's just a warm guy.
Is he shiny or is he matte?
He looks shiny to me.
Yeah, that was my guess.
Cool. What would I have him do?
A lot of things.
Well, I mean, he's programmed.
Could I teach him to knit? And we could knit together?
How does he learn things? Does he have to, like, learn them like a person?
Or you can put a chip in.
I imagine he could be programmed to do something.
Yeah.
But he's self-motivated, you know, so
does he have hobbies?
Being helpful?
Yeah, that's not a hobby, Josie. Maybe that's a personality trait and sometimes flaw.
That's a hobby for you, actually.
I believe he appears in as many as 4 stories. So,
That's a bummer. I think he's cute.
And yet he played sports, became a detective, and got married.
And fought sharks.
Well, the shark thing is
something.
What a life.
In what circumstance do scientists need protecting from shark? Like, were they marine biologists?
Constantly.
I've seen many movies.
They always,
movies are wrong.
they always have underwater lairs, and when you have underwater lairs, you got sharks.
Okay, that makes sense.
And when you got science next to sharks, you got smart sharks.
That's dangerous.
And if you think comics are somehow more realistic than movies?
Look, I like sharks. Sharks are not that deadly and mean.
I like sharks, just not in my lair.
But what about Automan? Hot or not?
I like him.
Me too. I think hot.
That's a hot for me.
Hot if he stays in the sun for too long. Is it metal? Get it? Is it metal or is it like a special? Oh no, it's a meteorite ore.
Ore is metal, right? And then.
Well, it has to be refined to be metal.
Probably was.
I just love.
Well, I mean, he's well learned. I'm sure he's refined.
I love the idea of meteorite and stuff.
Like, just in general?
Yes, that's cool.
Yeah, they make it sound like, is that somehow why he's alive?
Oh, maybe, yeah.
They made Johnny Five out of a meteorite? What is it? But,
does he recharge? Is he solar powered? Does he sleep? What? How does he get energy?
I think he's got the meteorite energy, man.
That sounds suspicious.
That sounds 1960s comics.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a little new feature that we're introducing with each of the entries.
Oh, no.
Because Who's Who is synonymous with the Fire and Water Podcast Network. It's what made its fame, if it has fame.
I thought we did.
You added to it, I'm
third
sure.
Third tier podcast.
Who's Who is the big one. So what I did was, I thought, it'd be interesting this year to ask the Network All-Stars what they think you guys will say about the entries. So I had a little voting system on our common chat. And in this case, I knew you would say hot. But
because you know
the majority thought you would not.
Listening to us?
That's so wrong.
Did they know us at all?
Well, no, Chris Franklin also knew hot, and he's like one of our most ardent commenters.
Yes. We'll send you a package of care and love. Everyone else, coal.
We run like the Santa system.
Yeah.
Next on Automan.
Look out!
I need a little help.
Not really much of a dancer.
Too bad. It's the second best thing you can do for your body.
Oh!
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Azrael. Today, the name is used by a violent anti-hero who once took over for Batman, but the original was a winged alien found frozen in a crash site in Alaska with no memory of who he was and how he got there. He falls in love with the first woman he sees, Lilith, a Teen Titan with psychic powers, and whenever he's separated from her, he goes into these long, teary-eyed monologues about love. He's naive and easily manipulated, and villains have used him against the Titans. His story was never fully explored. He just flies away at the end of a story, and he's never seen again.
Oh my God.
I can't tell you much more. Even his powers were hinted at more than shown. He might have been psychic himself, have tracking powers, super strength, even the ability to project emotions to make people stop attacking him? Not clear. Cool. We get a sad close-up of it in the serpent.
Yes.
The art is supplied by Jose Luis Garcia Lopez.
Praise be his name.
A la barre su nombre.
And Romeo Tangal. So what do we think of this guy?
He does look so sad.
I thought it was like a misprint.
Yeah,
or,
I was like, that's a weird choice. Yeah,
very weird choice, but now, oh.
He's like a sad heartthrob.
You can almost feel his lip trembling.
Yeah. Yes! He would be in a boy band video.
Oh, God. Yeah. I just feel like if it's like someone stole his food, I don't feel bad for him.
I have opinions.
Well, that's great, because this whole show is kind of centered around that. Well,
for those of you who know my mother...
No one listening.
All of us. Around the table.
Oh, okay.
No, my mother is very big at, like, guilt-tripping me for not being at home with my boyfriend 24/7. She's always like, you're neglecting him. He's alone at home. Is he okay?
And you're driving.
And I'm like... I have the right to have a life. And so someone who would just cry when I'm not there would then confirm my mother's feelings.
He would probably call her and monologue about how.
She's gone again.
No, thank you.
She's at work driving. I heard it was gonna rain.
Yeah. Is she into it? I don't remember if she said that. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, because you said that he fell in love with her, but have a relationship?
If it was much of a relationship, he wouldn't have flown off and never been heard of again.
Fair.
So I'm gonna say not great.
For me, it's the monologuing.
Yeah.
It's just like first of all, who's he talking to? You're not there. So, like...
himself.
He's just, like, calling up people. He's, like, ordering pizza and monologuing to the person.
He's soliloquies.
Going to coffee shops and being like, oh, would you like cream in that? My love has gone and left me.
But that's the other thing as well. So he arrives here, see the first girl ever, falls in love. Then she leaves him for a while and starts talking about all my love and all. What do you know of love?
Yeah, well, I have a hard time taking that seriously.
Yeah.
He knows nothing of anything. Like, how did he know to fall in love with her?
Is he like a baby duck?
Or he just wants
no,
a duck?
That just like imprinted on the first
yeah, I think just, I think it's an imprinting.
I was like, no memory of his former life, his planet of origin, his mission in space, or his true name.
Or does he just want
like a shell?
Well, he still knows how to speak and... You know, it's amnesia. It's not...
Is it?
He's not like a newborn baby.
Is it love or lust?
Like it was love. There was not much talk of lust.
It's also like too devoted love. I don't trust that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you don't love me. You love the idea of
it's
me.
It's suspicious.
You have to be your own person.
It's like, you have to realize I'm flawed. if you want to love me. Like, you have to love me in spite of who I am. I feel like otherwise it's just too good to be true.
Mm. Once in high school, I went to an improv tournament, and I spent the whole weekend cuddling with this one guy, but, like, we didn't really know each other. We spent a weekend cuddling, but, like, not really talking or anything else. And then after that, when I got home, his MSN name was, like, my name with hearts in it.
Oh, no.
This guy. I never spoke to that guy
ever
again.
Why would you change your name to the girl's name?
Well, it's like in MSN, you would have like a...
You'd have like a...
a text you would put, and you would put
people
like...
People would put like song lyrics or whatever.
Song lyrics and stuff.
It was like your subtitle.
Yeah, it was weird.
True love, though. You missed out.
Yeah.
True love.
What about the look?
I was gonna say, at least he has a good bod.
Yeah, the look is cool.
He has good nipples.
Aww.
The wings, as
we've shown, who's who shows nipples.
Yep.
Whereas Marvel's Ohatmu
cowards
erase nipples.
Why does he have different tying apparatuses on each arm?
I'm looking at your own tied up apparatuses around your arms right now, and it's different.
Yes, because this is a watch. We use it to tell time.
I feel like you would love this.
It's aesthetic.
It's asymmetrical.
I do like the asymmetrical. I'm just wondering if there is a function.
I feel like it's fashion.
Yeah.
No, a statement.
Because I don't feel that's attached to his wings in any way.
No, it doesn't actually seem... Because no. It looks
Are
like
his wings like part of him?
They come out of his back.
Gross.
Is it? I feel like it reads like a little bit Egyptian and a little bit Greek.
Yeah. Well, he has a very Grecian face.
The face is like an Alexander the Great statue.
And that hair with the
headband
thing is...
I don't hate it.
Isn't Azrael the name of the cat
yes.
in the Smurfs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there any link?
Well, it's a devil's name.
Oh, I see.
Or a pagan god who was turned into a devil, whatever.
Why does he have a devil's name?
It's also an angel's name.
Well, that is confusing.
So, yes. Welcome to Christianity.
Well, they, no.
Devils
I think it's one of the angels that fell and became a devil.
Yeah, devils Lucifer. Are angels that fell.
So both. Yeah,
so Azrael.
So tie your shoelaces over. Yeah,
falling out of his hair.
That's nice hair.
Being a parent telling that to your kid.
Tie your laces or you're gonna fall.
Fall from grace.
Fall straight to hell. You're a
devil. Fall from grace. But yeah, I think he's supposed to be a fallen angel. I think that's the concept, right?
Oh, yeah. He fell in Alaska.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I do appreciate how detailed it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it kind of looks like, you know those adult coloring books?
Okay.
That are just like a bunch of like circles or whatever, like mandala. Tiny details to color in. It really feels like that to me.
A mandala.
And I appreciate that, especially for a comic, because that must have been a little annoying to draw.
That's why he flies away to never return.
Flies away until people forget how annoying he is to draw and then draw him up again.
He's like a good level of buff too. He's not like outrageously huge
or scary.
He has a swimmer's body.
Because of the shoulders and the neck?
Well, maybe he needs to swim in the air.
No, just the torso is very swimmer. The legs aren't too bulky. Lean.
The aerodynamicness of it.
Yes.
Well, try
sort of wearing like those drag shorts.
Nice.
I would like to see him try to fit all that hair into a bathing cap.
Fair.
He does have like a face of like a ghost from 1874 in your house.
Yeah, BC.
He has some unfinished business.
He's searching for his wife and kids.
He just cries in the corner of your room.
Oh, and that would be scary.
Yeah,
it'd be terrifying.
You just find like love poems on your house. Like,
question. The whole like his origin is a mystery. Is that someone's cop out?
It's just sometimes. You write in a storyline, you think it's going somewhere, you abandon it for whatever reason. It's monthly comics.
So
something
just
happens, you're off the book, whatever. And
one just got around to it.
And no one cared to no one cared to bring him back. They repurposed his name. They gave his name to somebody else who became very popular. So that's
shit.
It for him.
Sucks to be this dude.
Is he having a soliloquy somewhere about being abandoned.
Probably. To this day, he's crying somewhere.
For the past 40 years.
Wow. Oh, 40 years. Wow.
Or
sorry,
so.
Buddy.
That's a bummer, man.
Yeah.
I'm sure he fell in love with someone else immediately.
For his sake, I hope he did.
Is Azrael?
Hopefully it was a statue.
Is Azrael hot or not?
Nah.
Yes. But I wouldn't sleep with him because I'd be afraid that I'd suddenly be his new love.
Yeah, the neediness is a little off-putting.
I think for a woman especially, that, like, needy man thing that, like, gets upset when you're not there and whatever, that's kind of alarming.
It veers into possessive.
It feels abusive. We don't like it.
It's like, oh, that's cute, but then it's like, man, that's kind of creepy and what the fuck?
Yeah, many red flags.
It goes from cute to creepy real fast.
I like most of the design, but his personality is not great.
But I fully expect people to think that we will call that hot.
I want to know.
And did they, Mike?
No. Well, the guys from Who's Who.
Yeah. Yes.
Thought you would say hot.
Yo.
Everybody else thought not.
Like, physically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I would look at him with enjoyment.
Yeah.
But then he would look at you, and then it's like, oh shit.
It's like you're stuck in a very weird relationship.
And I think, even like with all the backstory, that serpent, that face. No.
Yeah, it's upsetting.
But me at like 16, super into emo boys, sure. Now, as an adult woman, no.
I'm too busy for him.
Yeah. Like, you are.
You are too busy.
I don't have patience
You're
for
too
this.
Busy for us?
I see you guys often.
It's okay, yes. It shows.
Babe, your favorite member of Atari Force, the giant alien toddler known as Babe, art by Eduardo Barreto. At the age of 2, he was kidnapped from the planet Egg by a pirate who thought he could sell him as a slave, since Eggites are super strong but docile. After all, they become sleepy mountains when they grow up.
Oh, what?
That's so good.
He's rescued by Atari Force and joins the group, Morphia acting as his surrogate mother. Babe is a sweet soul, very slow to anger, and very loyal to his friends. He's extremely strong, but he's a child, so he's an undisciplined fighter at best. At the end of Atari Force, Babe does not go back to Egg, but instead returns to Earth with Martin Champion. Maybe he becomes a mountain here, pictured with the group's pet hookah, while the serpent shows Atari Force's spaceship and a close-up of Babe's face.
Aww. Baby, I want to rock him to sleep.
How big is he?
Yeah, I don't 14, know that you could.
14 feet.
I can rock his head to sleep.
No, yes, maybe his finger. Like, just petting the finger.
Well, no, I could put his giant head in my lap.
I don't know. Okay.
Josie over here is doing the math.
His giant pineapple head.
It does look like a pineapple, which is slightly upsetting, but it's the best fruit. Does he like toddler toys?
Actually, yes. In issue 65, imagine he plays with these toys.
Imagine the size of the toy, though.
Here's my trick for entertaining toddlers, okay? I try to get them interested in putting all of X things, so all the blocks, in one container. And then they do that. For hours. Like, they bring me the block and they're like, look, I have a block. I'm like, yeah, thank you. Oh, another block for my toddler knees. Constantly. And then they dump the container over and start again. I love it.
Sounds like a nightmare to me, but
well, it keeps them busy so that
I understand.
Well, if you're stuck with one,
I give you tips for people at home that are stuck.
Make them put stuff in another thing.
I just want to go to the park with him and fetch like
whole trees.
Oh, like pine cones with like his two tiny
feet. He does kind of look like a pine cone.
He looks like a pine cone, like scales, like a pineapple.
I love him. Like I want to be his surrogate mother.
So,
An elephant jolly man.
Was he born out of an egg?
The planet's called Egg, but it just seemed to, like, the babies sort of roll off the mountain.
Oh, it's so...
I think the mountains maybe, like, I don't know, they burgeon. And...
It's so whimsical. But those scales, he looks like he'd come out of, like, a dragon egg, kind of. Like a Game of Thrones dragon egg. Also, what happens with the whole mountain thing? Like, are they sad that they're...
No, they're not.
No, they become these big mountains.
But are they, like, okay with it? Are they at peace with that?
They're mineral-based.
They mature into...
What's happening to me? Oh, no, I don't think so. They must know.
No, it says they mature into sentient mountains with extremely long lifespans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
This is the best idea anyone's ever had.
That's so sweet.
It is a delight.
Until then, they lead peaceful existences, having little contact with other planets.
You know what? That sounds great. Yeah, that's the best truly. Life.
I love everything. They're I love thriving. The fact that it's Egg, the planet is called Egg. I love that. I love the giant cuddliness. I love the mountain lore.
Yeah, everything about this is adorable.
The only thing that scares me is the terrible twos. And he's 2 years of age, having a tantrum, and he's like...
That big.
1,600 pounds. That could be a problem.
He doesn't give me tantrum vibes, though.
No, but it says that when he's angered, he is able to smash trees, rocks, metal construction, and everything
but
else.
But it's very rare. Is Babe hot or not?
Well, it's one of those where it's weird, because, like...
I understand.
But, like, if you take away the fact that he's a child, yes, I love this dude.
Like, it's not lust, it's love. Mm-hmm. I adore him. Yes. He's filling my empty womb with hope.
Oh, gosh. I just feel like we could go on fun dates. Like, he would go to the clay cafe and, like...
Smash everything.
He'd paint it with the tiniest of pencil and be like...
Can he even fit in the cafe?
Well, no, he might be on the patio, still.
He's painting the outside of the cafe.
Oh, yes. He's painting the building.
Do they start off that big, or does he start, like, very small? Because I would like a very small, tiny, and small guy like this.
I think the smallest that is... I mean, he is too, but I think the smallest that I've seen him is he was probably... I mean, it felt like he was maybe like a
baby
Lord of the
elephant?
Rings dwarf or something.
Okay.
Aww.
Delight.
That's so cute.
So that grows fast.
Yeah, that's scary.
But it's a hot. It's so cute. I love the concept. I love everything about it.
Also, adorable. Purple and blue are good colors.
Yes. Is it clothes?
Seem to have that as a baby on the mountain, so...
Okay. I think the top one's a cape, which is always a plus.
Even the ears are, like, weird and good.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise, the Network All-Stars unanimously thought it would be a hot, but you sort of telegraphed it when we talked about the Tari Force, so...
Yeah, I would have been really true. Pissed off if they wouldn't have gotten it. That just means they don't listen.
Yeah, this is like a fun segment where we see who actually watches the show.
No one watches it, Isabel. It's an auditory medium.
No, they have to watch it. Look at
a little bard, Vince. Time passes.
Only true fans watch the bar and progress.
There we go. Balloon Buster.
Oh, no.
Balloon Buster.
Not my Zeppelin.
We'll see if you want him to pierce your Zeppelin.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
All right.
So many balloons, though.
Oh, God.
Steve Savage was a World War I ace who got his nickname by destroying a large number of German combat balloons. This guy was a maverick type who disobeyed orders often, but was too good to court-martial. Brave to the point of foolhardiness, Savage was a perfect marksman and would go into battle shouting, "I am the gun!"
Oh,
oh my God! That is badass, though.
See, I don't know.
He saw it as an extension of
it's
himself.
An extension.
Maybe I will have to start saying that.
I have a request here in the Network All-Stars chat for you to say...
Oh my god.
Like you mean it.
Like I mean it.
Like it's an extension of yourself.
You're going into battle.
Okay. There's a target far away. You need to
I've never shot a gun in my life. Remember this. But I am the shotgun.
However, to get back to Steve Savage, however, he kept his righteous anger for the enemy and for the Canadian major who always tried to court-martial him.
Canada.
But when he dealt with the French ladies down on the ground, he was, by all accounts, a snappy dancer and a smoldering lover.
Sure he was.
The art by Joe Kubert shows his face in profile, his plane destroying a combat balloon, and fighting the enemy ace.
I mean, with legs like that, you'd expect him to be a good dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Elise, you've recently discovered a love of country music.
By recently, we mean like a couple hours ago.
I am being forced to enjoy a country fest 250 meters from my patio.
And by force, she means she downloaded all the music and was playing in her car.
Don't download music anymore. That's so 2008.
And she got a cowboy hat.
I like this.
I don't like that we don't know if he survived the war.
Because he's a contemporary hero. I mean, he's contemporary to World War One. So anytime you read his stories, it's World War One. You never see after, so usually who says, who knows what happened to him? That story has not been told.
Maybe he found love.
With a French lady.
With a German lady.
No, a French, they're fun.
The French are fun.
He was stationed in France.
I love that he's dancing. I hope he still yells, "I am the gun."
While dancing.
I am the beat.
He just says what he's doing. He's taking a shower. He's like, "I am the soap."
Eating eggs. I am the whisk.
Oh, that's amazing.
Sad, gloomy days, like, I am the couch.
I want to start doing that. That's my new catchphrase. Today, I am the country.
His look is a little,
all over the place?
Looky look.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
World War One and the Far West, did they happen concurrently?
Late Far West, yeah. Some Westerns go... You know, up through... As long as there's, like, cowboys and that sort of frontier life, there are Westerns to tell those stories. There are Westerns that take place in the 50s.
I'm done. If we went to Austin today, somebody would be dressed like this.
Actually, especially with those pants.
Yeah.
Those pants are great.
The background looks so cool.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good profile.
I love a good war.
I will
war shot! Yeah.
You won't let me finish my sentence!
Jesus.
I love a good war drawing.
I am the war. But like you said...
I do not love a good war.
What is a good war?
And you guys are more into World War One than World War Two, right?
I am false.
I am a World Wars person.
Okay.
Yes, I don't know that I have a preference. I mean, it's a preference. Yes. It's a stupid way to say it, but you know what I mean.
Favorite subjects to study.
As far as studying and teaching, I preferred World War One. Probably because there's so much already known and... people think they know about World War II.
Yeah.
That it was refreshing for me to learn and teach about World War I.
Yeah, we don't talk about it as much.
I mean, if I had to pick a war, I'd probably pick the Cold War, which surprises no one.
That should have been the question. What's your war choice?
Well, we've got plenty of chances to do that.
Because there's very little balloon action.
I do like the name, though.
I hate the name.
I hate the name?
It's so dumb.
It feels like he'd be really good at, like, those carnival games.
Yeah.
Like, he's a... Like, you know, he fights in the war... The balloon bust? Come on!
No, actually, I think there's something to, like, something kind of silly nickname for people in that kind of scenario, because it's so dark and depressing.
Yeah, it's the silly pilots. They all had their own, like, nicknames. And
yes.
It does kind of sound like a different version of, like, Ball Buster. Or is the Balloon Buster
over
there?
Which I think is kind of... part of the joke. Mm. Possibly.
The strip, I believe, was called, like, Steve Savage, the Balloon Buster or something.
I like that it's alliterations.
Junior, too. Oh, no, he's blonde.
Yeah. That's really is a bummer for me.
He has a hat.
He doesn't feel like he'd be blonde. No, yeah, I think, that's surprising. Is the thing.
No, he could be dirty blonde.
Yes, yeah. Okay. It's hard because in these comics, like, when they're blonde, they're, like, yellow, so yeah. It's like... Mm-hmm.
I will say, though, his face in the background is looks handsome. Old.
No, it's rugged. Yeah.
He's seen shit. For me, it reads old.
I think it's just, like dirty and...
And, like, squinting.
Also, like, in the plains, they didn't all have roofs. So you're in the sun and in the wind the whole time. Like, your face ages, man.
I'm sure there's a logical explanation, but
use moisturizer.
But it was just, I think it's just the way it's drawn. Like, his cheeks look a little sunken in. Yeah, you know,
he could use a skincare routine.
But also, he's at war. He's not, like, having great meals.
I'd kiss the heck out of that
face. Yes. Oh, damn right.
I mean, I'm not saying he's
we're like defending him. We're like, he's a bad. No.
It's all right if he looks 80. That's attractive as well.
He does not look 80.
He looks old.
I disagree because of like.
40 at best.
Look at the eyes. Look at the eyes and look at the squinting. Cheeks.
I'm 40. 40. He
looks 75.
No, oh my god.
Okay, I don't know why, but I kind of. It kind of reminds me of Liam Neeson, the profile.
Like, if you had the face, maybe, but no,
I meant the mouth.
Like,
if you only look at the cheek, sure, but, like, with the mouth, no, me that's reminds, not a 7-year-old.
Me, with the squint, it reminds me of Clint Eastwood and the Western theme and everything. Yeah. And he's a handsome man.
If you hide the face, you could be whatever age you want.
Balloon Buster, hot or not?
Hot.
Very hot.
Isabel?
Is he 80?
He's hot for a 7-year-old.
My God. It could be cute.
So the Network All-Stars unanimously thought hot.
Of course.
Wait, hold up. He wasn't an asshole, right? We just didn't...
A little bit, but I think lovable.
But, like, acceptable
that,
asshole?
That's what he got.
I mean,
seduces French women. It clearly works.
He dances!
Because I wasn't sure because... In a way, he's Maverick from Top Gun.
Yeah, and I like Maverick too.
Well, that's the kind of character I wasn't sure would be.
I'm confused. I don't like Tom Cruise.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
I like this better than Maverick, though.
Okay.
Even though he's 70? Yeah, I mean, Maverick is basically 70.
Yeah, that's right.
How old is Tom Cruise by now? I don't know.
58 or something.
Yeah.
I think he's almost 60.
I would have thought older by now.
Yeah, I think he's more than 60.
Nope. Well, we have someone Googling. No.
Is he 75?
On July 3rd, he turned 60.
Hey! Well, happy birthday.
He's been smiling.
I know you're a fan of the pod.
He's been smiling like a dumbass in movies for too long.
Oh, man. He's been listening to this podcast the whole time. And he's like, oh, it's so nice. Just get away.
And then he finds out we hate him. No.
99 on the air, like super high tech jet fighters. Everyone's a superhero. Everyone's a Captain Kirk. Scramble in the summer sky. 99 red balloons go by.
Oh no.
Oh boy.
Baron Bedlam.
Oh no.
The fictional Balkan country of Markovia had a prince who became the superhero known as Geoforce, who would join Batman's superhero team, the Outsiders. Well, during World War II, Markovia was run by a Nazi puppet who was swiftly deposed after the war, but his son, Frederick, a Nazi collaborator himself, wants to depose the royal family and take back control as Barrett Bedlam, which is an anagram of his real name, Delamb. Delamb. This megalomaniac fascist with a fondness for Hitler failed at his first coup and was thrown to the Markovian mob, presumably to his death. But he's returned a number of times with more schemes, apparently as a clone of himself, prepared just in case. He has no powers except his political charisma.
No charisma.
Artist, I don't know, but yeah. Artist Jim Aparo gives us a better look at his scar in the Serpent, as well as a standoff between him and Geoforce on the castle ramparts.
I'm gonna go ahead and just say not right now.
Yeah. What
we can't haunt a Nazi.
Yeah.
What a Nazi.
I'm not haunting a Nazi.
No. But what I mean,
and honestly, I don't like the way it looks either.
No.
What sounds more like the plot of like a Hallmark movie than a prince from a fictitious place called Markovia?
Yeah.
I don't think Hallmark movies have Nazis.
Not yet.
I'm sure there's a market for it, let's be honest, and that's a bit sad.
Yeah. And I say Balkan country because I believe it's in the Balkans, but I recently saw a map where they put Markovia in Eastern Europe. But it's wedged between Luxembourg and Belgium, which is not
what?
Eastern Europe.
Wow.
Absurd.
It made me very angry. as much of Outsiders comics do.
You know Shrek?
Yes! Lord Farquaad! I was desperately trying to remember his
name. That's the first thing I thought.
Absolutely. Same. Lord Farquaad. 100%. The only thing is, he's 6'6".
But he looks so short.
He looks short.
He looks short because of the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the same haircut.
It's funny that he has highlights, though.
I think it's gray hair, but we can go with highlights.
No, it's highlights.
It kind of looks even dumber.
I like the scar, though. I love a good scar.
Yeah.
It's actually a quite long one.
Yeah, it feels a little overkill.
How did he get the scar?
A sword?
Oh.
Cool.
Even if he wasn't a Nazi or ridiculous looking? Well, I mean,
there's not much left.
I mean, like, his jaw is so square.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it.
He honestly looks like, you know, when you're like walking on a pier and people are doing like caricatures of people.
Yeah.
He looks like that to me. Mm. He also looks a little bit like the Burger King.
Oh, me with the red and the black and yellow, and especially the chin and a few face features, it was very Gaston.
Yes, I also thought Gaston.
Yeah.
We're all very in tune today, guys.
Basically, everyone we hate.
I'll say that
he looks like Tom Cruise.
Oh, no. That guy doesn't know how to smile. He's constantly in a state of rage.
You know what I find interesting, though? And now I'm going to nerd out.
Because we haven't been since the beginning.
That's geeking out. Different.
Okay, fair.
I find it interesting that his only power is his, you know, political charisma. And you say that he always looks angry. And by all accounts and purposes, right now we find Hitler ridiculous. But his power was to be extremely angry and, as a public speaker, to galvanize the masses. I do find that link interesting, that they both look ridiculous at the end of the day, but I don't know, like, it's an interesting phenomenon.
You better be a good public speaker with that face.
Well, I think also some of it is like, if you're too pretty, I can't trust you, but if you look like me, you know, or like you're as angry at me, well, that's why Hitler had the stupid mustache. Because it was a style sported by the poor.
I mean, his political charisma only went so far. Because when he was thrown off the castle ramparts, they ripped him to shreds.
Did they?
Good for them.
Off panel. Can't really see. So he's dead?
Oh.
And then they cloned him. And he's better in prison.
People have to stop cloning people now.
You have to at least be more selective.
Yeah, you can't just go
this on. Guy.
Don't clone Nazis.
No, it's terrible.
I feel like that's
rule number two of cloning. No Nazis.
What is rule number one?
I'm not sure yet.
Question.
Yes.
Did the Nazis find them ridiculous? Like, they were a puppet government, but did they actually respect them?
I mean, this is all before the comics, right? My dad was friends with Hitler. Okay. Name dropper. Is Barrett Bedlam hot or not?
Absolutely not.
No.
Bad.
Deserves to boil in hot oil.
No, but I have been delightfully singing the Genovia national anthem in my head.
Network All-Stars, unanimous, not.
I sure hope so.
I assumed it was the case.
Genovia.
The land
I call my home Genovia, Genovia.
Beginning in 2018, the Who's Who podcast enters the 1990s with our coverage of the Loose Leaf editions.
Featuring Superman by Jerry Ordway.
The Joker by Brian Bolland.
Wonder Woman by George Perez.
Sandman by Mike Dringenberg.
Batman by Norm Breyfogle.
The JLI by Adam Hughes.
Eclipso by Bart Sears.
The Legion of Superheroes by Keith Giffen.
Dark Stars by Travis Charest.
Lobo by Simon Bisley.
Kent Shakespeare by Chris Sprouse? Who is that?
Doomsday by Tom Grummett.
Wait, are we covering these by issue or in alphabetical order?
The Justice Society of America by Mike Parabek.
The Forever People again? You are f***ing kidding me.
Doom Patrol by Richard Case.
I'm so confused.
And many more. The Who's Who podcast, going boldly into the 90s.
A proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network, I guess.
Female bag! Woo!
Woo! Stop! Is it comments from 6 months ago?
Comments on episode 6 of Who's Hot and Who's Not, which 6 months ago covered Adam 1 and 2. Atomic Knight, Atomic Skull, Oron, and George Perez's cover for issue 1. So, Adam 1, Chris Franklin says, poor Al Pratt, he gets a nod, but Atomic Skull gets a hot? In the history of the show, I rarely recall times when Siskoid was flabbergasted by the squad's ranking, but you could tell this one got him. Isamu Yukinori says, Al Pratt's outfit, sans masque, is similar to what circus strongmen wore in the 1930s and 40s. So that explains a bit of the costume. Mike Dinah says, I agree with the ladies. For a guy that's supposed to be short, have the picture really show it. You just can't tell from this entry. I do think that's a great idea that not every superhero is 6'2". Eric says, I have to imagine that the original Adam had to be a challenge for artists, requiring a consistent sense of scale to make him shorter than all the other heroes he hangs out with. It's kind of like the way many artists forget that Wolverine is supposed to be short as well. The discussion made me remember a diminutive wrestler, bodybuilder, character, actor of years past, Buck Cartellian, whose credits include Cool Hand Luke, Planet of the Apes, and an episode of the Adam West Batman series. At 5'3", he probably would have been the only actor both short and athletic enough to play the Adam if there had ever been a live-action version of him. And Captain Entropy says, the Al Pratt Adam is one of my favorite characters from the All-Star Squadron. I think if the girls read those stories, they'd rate him a hot. He's an upbeat, friendly, exceptionally strong, short guy who always wants to do the right thing. His powers are the ability to recklessly jump into danger, never quit, and pummel bad guys to the point of submission, and maybe just beyond. He is a role model of courage, good cheer, and cathartic violence. Adam 2, one short comment here. Isamu reminds us that the Cartoon Network put out some DC Nation shorts that adapted part of the Sword of the Atom story. I'd have to check that out. Atomic Knight, Martin Gray called the Atom's second costume self-harm, but he doesn't like the Atomic Knight's redesign any better. His armor is terrible, another unnecessary reinvention. I guess he liked better when it was just like normal knights. And then Atomic Skull, of course, Ange says, as a kid, just starting to think about medicine, the idea that he could weaponize the abnormal electricity of his seizures into brain bolts was fascinating. Don't know if I could pull out the thigh-high boots. More love from Mike Dinas says, this Mort was in one of my very first comics that I can remember, so he will always be awesome to me. And Isamu adds, if the Hot Squad thinks the Atomic Skull had Skeletor vibes, wait until they meet Dr. Destiny. Nyah! On Oron, Ange says, before listening to the episode, I assumed Oron would be a big hot. Adonis body, incredible hair, phenomenal cosmic power. Nope. Instead, the Atomic Skull gets the hot.
We're just full of surprises.
That came out of nowhere.
Yeah, but imagine how boring this show would be if we just find the actual hots hot.
Hmm. But listeners were less interested in talking about Oron than they were about how his mom pronounces her name. I tried Xal and Shal, but Chris Franklin always said Exhale. Which what? He knows is probably wrong. Gene Hendricks, for his part, says Zahal. For Jeff R., it's Zahal. And Isamu Yukinori says his dad pronounced it Exal, which is how he heard it said on a Comic-Con panel. It may be how they said it on the Teen Titans cartoon show as well. Captain Entropy perhaps has the best pronunciation.
Huh?
Either Oron's mom or that goddess Starfire is always talking about.
Nice.
We talked about the cover as well. Our friend Mike W. from Saskatchewan reveals that Aegeus was left off the cover accidentally. The guy on the black Pegasus.
Oh.
So that is very rare. I think that's maybe the only time it ever happened in Who's Who. Apparently, it wasn't on the master list that they gave Perez before he started drawing the cover. So there was a miscommunication there.
But there was like a bunch of white base. Could have added him.
Yeah, he just never got that.
You don't draw the cover after the comic's all done. It's usually before, during. And then some miscellaneous comments. Martin Gray asks, is it okay to say I enjoy the DC shows more than the Marvel ones?
It is okay. I'm just sorry for you because we all do these as often.
You can have the preference you want. We'll just judge in silence.
No, that's okay. This episode gave Eric his favorite line of the episode, falling into a vat of physics. Chris Franklin also singled out that line and called us the new Grant Morrison. Isamu adds, thank you, Jose, for the suggestion of making tiny bubbles from the dish soap bottle when doing the dishes. It is a new little pleasure, I add, when I have to do that chore.
Aww, that's so sweet.
And finally, the P.O. Box was full this week.
Full!
Well, Ange went to Terrificon. So he sent a couple of autographed...
Oh my goodness.
Ohatmu pages. One of them is the controller, and one of them is Valkyrie, which you haven't seen yet.
Oh, she's hot.
Damn.
Wow. Can we fast forward?
And here's what Ange had to say. Well, he explains each one. Let's start with Valkyrie here, because he says, as usual, explaining the concept behind the Ohatmu or Not show to creators and getting them to sign some pages is always a bit of an adventure. Bob McLeod was at the table with his wife. When I explained the show and what I wanted him to do, sign the page and say if Valkyrie was hot or not, his wife became rather upset. She said she thought the concept of the show was sexist. She asked if the hosts were all men. So I explained that the panelists were all women and that hot took all things into consideration. Personality, style, looks, etc. She said, okay, that's better. But then she said, no, I still think it's terrible. And my feminist daughter would think so too. Meanwhile, Bob McLeod gladly signed the sheet and wrote an enthusiastic hot on the side.
She's not wrong. The premise of the show is not right.
Yeah, of course. I'm still a little upset because it's like she thinks that we're not semi-ironically doing this.
Well, I think maybe Ange, she didn't understand what.
Well,
Ange was mansplaining the show. This is how it's going.
I mean, just based on the description of this show, if you don't listen.
And he tried to defend it, but it's like maybe yeah.
I understand, but we are all feminists.
Yes, yeah, so I wouldn't call you out for being non-feminist.
No,
but yeah, definitely. If you listen to the show, you probably won't get it.
If you don't listen, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't expect like, oh, that's a giant armadillo man.
Yeah, he's hot. You should have told her that armadillo's hot.
I don't know if she would have had that.
Knowledge of
what she's also standing there.
Ange should walk around with a picture of Armadillo.
Are you saying he's not wearing our merch when he goes to these events?
There's no picture of the armadillo. I mean,
yes, there is.
No,
it's not the armadillo.
There is an armadillo, but it doesn't make any sense for a person who doesn't know the character. So I think she's also reacting to the fact that he didn't plop controller in front of Bob McLeod.
Yes.
He plopped Valkyrie.
True.
Who has these massive metal cups on her chest. So, and then he wrote hot.
With two
exclamation points.
But, yeah. If you think about it, like, we lose our ways in camping trips and we assume stupid hotties. Shit about every character, but if the premise was just, we look at a picture and we say hot or not, we would have been done by now.
I think the problem is the word hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pun, it's easy to say, it's rhymes, so that's what we use, but...
Dateable or not.
We don't mean... bangable necessarily.
Sometimes.
And I think that's in the spirit of Turnabout is Fair Play. That's the feminist premise of the show. That we wouldn't do this with guys.
No.
We wouldn't have Fern and Marty
No, that would be that would not go
slime.
Yeah. But also, yeah. I think we say stuff like, "No, I think he's abusive. That's a not."
Yeah, and she's never listened to the show.
No,
so.
Of course, I don't blame her. I understand.
Well, maybe she will now.
I don't think she will.
No, maybe she'll hate watch it.
It also took a little while to explain the concept to Al Milgram, making the line behind me for signatures none too happy. I also had to write out Ohatmu on a paper for him to copy because that acronym isn't well known to creators, apparently.
What?
He did seem to, well, they called it Marvel Universe. He did seem to like it when I asked him to rank the controller as hot or not, writing, so not.
Yeah. That's awesome.
With one exclamation point this time.
Anyway, I hope the team gets a big kick out of receiving these as I get procuring them. It is always a hoot to see just how the artists respond.
It's so fun.
Perhaps you should print like a little business card size explanation.
We're not gonna give Edge homework here.
No, we give him like business cards.
No, stand in line and openly make everyone listen to an episode. Yes.
I mean, that's fair is fair. He's given me homework in the past. I've translated things for him.
But thank you very much. Yes, that's awesome.
The story was delightful as well.
It's always so great. I love the endeavor of just forcing people to write.
We should make a video of us that they like show on their phones. Like, hi, we're the hot. No,
the lineup is boiling. Before we go, we have to mention the Fire and Water Podcast Network Patreon page at patreon.com/FW Podcast. If you like our content, please think about making a one-time or monthly donation. This particular production is sponsored by Gene Hendricks, Miss Yurik, Mike Dynas, and Eric. Don't forget to leave comments at fireandwaterpodcast.com, and we'll read them in the next episode of Who's Hot and Who's Not. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye. We love you.
Who's Who is the big one. It's okay. It's the
starter.
I don't know what they call it.
Main feature. No, there's one. There's there's a word.
Is it a pillar?
No.
Pillar.
It's a thing. It's
like a headline. Who's doesn't who? Matter. Yeah.
They're the best boy. Okay.
One of the founding fathers.